This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And anytime you get down here, you have to be alert for Justin Fields' legs. They can be lethal in the red zone.
Trent Taylor in motion. There is Fields in his legs. Dances outside. Stretches. Touchdown, Justin Fields.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
A lot of good from Justin Fields yesterday. That highlight, CBS television. Bears win. They beat Atlanta 37-17 as we welcome you back in on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Crotty with you on New Year's Day. Happy New Year. Be with you until 11 o'clock and we'll get back to your calls in a bit, and your text messages, keep them rolling in. I'm reading all your texts. Don't worry. I mean, not everyone's going to be on the air, but I'll try to get a bunch of them on the air. 312-644-67. 67 is the number. Justin Fields, 20 of 32, 268 yards. He had a touchdown. He had zero picks. He had a 99.5 rating. He also had 11 carries for 45 yards. That touchdown that you just heard, a lot of very specifically terrific plays with his arm, a couple of excellent plays with the legs as well. Justin Fields moved the meter for me yesterday. And if you have not heard, the Bears did secure the number one overall pick in the draft for the second straight year. Bears also officially eliminated from the playoffs. Bears game at Lambeau Field against the Packers. The season finale for both of those teams will be at 3:25 on Sunday. We learned last night. And it means everything for the Packers. The Bears can eliminate the Green Bay Packers if they go into Lambeau Field and they win the game. So things riding on that final game. Let's keep the Bears talk hot with Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. He covers the Bears every day for that particular paper, and he joins us on the guest hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. It's pretty amazing, Potsy, how everything is falling into place here at the end of the season in terms of the draft pick and the improvement that this team is showing.
Absolutely, Mark. Although if there was a true football god, that Giants field goal would have gone through and kept beating the Rams and kept the Bears playoff. that would have been the cherry on top, I think. But you're right. That was a real. That was one of the best late season games for a non-playoff team, and I'm serious about that we've seen, because we've seen a lot of fool's gold at the end of the season. You know, going back to the Lovie Smith era and Jay Cutler and stuff like that, and this looked very real. They had advantageous situation, playing a dome team in bare weather. But on the other hand, they beat a team that was pretty good, that has had playoff chances, and it was pretty complete. So yeah, I think this is definitely, that was an arrow pointing up moment, which I think is going to be the theme of the offseason, for the Bears, even without them making the playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's such a great point, too. A dome team in Atlanta, but that was a focused Atlanta team that needed to win to keep their playoff hopes alive, and a team that did have coming in a lot of momentum on defense, a really good top 10 defensive team, a team that's really good in the red zone. And, all of that said, good defense. And you look at what Justin Fields did, and I just went through the numbers. What did you think of his performance? And really the bigger question is, what did that mean for Justin Fields?
Well, I have to stay with what I said before and say that one game was not going to change, the overall picture of Justin Fields. Now, if one game could, that would have been the game. That would be the game. But yeah, no, I think it was a really impressive game, potentially a game changer for the Bears. at quarterback. But I thought that was a really just an interesting timed, a well-timed performance. It was almost like Justin Fields Appreciation Day, because if you look at it, like you said, the Falcons are very much like the Bears. They, you know, they're an up-and-coming team. They think they've got a lot of pieces in place. They have a good defense. They have a strong running game. What they're missing is what the Bears have. They have, the Bears have Justin Fields. They have DJ Moore. And even more importantly, they also have the number one pick in the draft. So a team like Atlanta, they go back to Atlanta. Now they're wondering, where we need a, they, all they need is a quarterback. Where are they going to get it? And they're back in the muck of the draft, you know, in the maybe even outside the top 10, and looking for it. And the Bears not only have Fields, not only have Moore, but they also have the number one pick, so they also have options. So I just think the Justin Fields situation is one that I think is a huge difference for the Bears. I actually don't even know how to process it, because I don't think we've ever been in a situation where the Bears have been in such a fortuitous situation at quarterback. But that said, it will be interesting. What I like about this situation is, like, you know, I'd like to fast forward a year and see where the Bears are, no matter who is who will be a quarterback, where will Justin Fields be. The same. Next week, we're going to get a really good kind of a litmus test right away, because now you don't have that advantage of being at home against a dome team. Now you're going into the Lions then against a Packers team that is desperate to win, and they have a quarterback who they feel, you know, you should have a poll now. Who would you rather have a quarterback, Jordan Love or Justin Fields? That would be a really interesting debate at this particular week, because they have a quarterback that they've – now it's a little more even. And the Bears' history of finishing against the Packers, not good. And so I guess it's what I'm saying, it's going to be a really interesting – right away, you don't have to wait till next year to kind of get a reality check on just how real things were yesterday. I think you'll find out against a Packers team that has to win, pretty much has only as an outside chance if they lose, pretty much has to win to make the playoffs, like they did last year. And you know you're going to get their best game. So I really like that situation. I think it's a great finish for the Bears, because you'll get a lot better idea of exactly, like I said, arrow pointing up, but how straight up, how far up? I think we'll get that. I think we'll know that after Sunday.
Yeah, and as symbolic of that, I mean, you said that the Bears typically don't finish well against the Packers. Well, they didn't start very well against the Packers this year either. And you know,
but at least they have a history of starting well against the Packers. So it's like in 2006, they don't have much of a history at all of finishing against the Packers. They haven't knocked the Packers out of the playoffs since 1983. In the last game of the season, and that was Mike Ditka. So, but anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay. But I love the conversation.
There's a big difference between Week 1 and Week 16 and the Bears-Packers rivalry. Yeah. I'm just pointing that out.
Well, I'll throw this out there. If we're going to play this Bears-Packers game here, Potsy, didn't the Bears clinch their playoffs in 2018? Was that the final game of the season at Soldier Field?
It wasn't the final game, but it was late in the season. Okay. Yeah, it was like Week 14 or something.
Close enough. You got to give me that
Jackson
one.
Jackson got hurt.
Yeah.
That was the game Eddie Jackson got hurt and and missed the playoff game, and the Bears lost by a point.
Oh, man. God. And you could actually make the case, too, that Eddie Jackson has never been as dominant of a player since then. And I do believe that the guy has dealt with injuries, but that's certainly not what we're talking about here. But, yeah, I love the idea that there's some meaning going into this game. And we all know that the meaning of how seriously, you know, Bears fans, everybody takes Bears Packers and the McCaskies and Kevin Warren, and everybody's going to have to fall in line in terms of beating the Packers. But I do want to talk about, you know, going into next season. And I don't know if I'm ready to straight up ask people what the Bears should do. Well, we will. But it's funny because it's a risk either way. Like, if you pass on Caleb Williams, if you decide to trade the pick, it's a massive risk because you might be. It's still possible you're passing up on the next great quarterback. And I know that there's been the struggles with Caleb Williams this year. But if you do get rid of Justin Fields at this point, you may be taking a great risk as well. So I guess, Potash, I guess it was my long way of saying, I certainly wouldn't want to be Ryan Poles, because unless he's just got a feeling about either of these quarterbacks and Caleb Williams that we don't know about, isn't there just massive amounts of risk in either of these guys at this point?
Oh, absolutely. There's all sorts of facets to this, even to the point of, like, it's the it's the Bears, you know, developing a quarterback. If I was trading the pick, I would trade the pick to the worst team I could find that has a less chance of developing a quarterback, so I don't look bad. You trade him to the wrong team, like he goes to Houston, C.J. Stroud. Oh, you know, that, even that made the Bears look bad. Yeah, you passed on C.J. Stroud. So we don't know. That's the other thing, is that who does the number one pick go to, and if he goes to the, and will Caleb Williams be everything he would be at some other team with the Bears? I don't think it's a bad situation. I think it's a great situation, but you kind of make a good point in that even guys like Ryan Poles, who get paid to do this and seem to be apparently very good at their job, they miss on a quarterback. You know, you're looking at the, I always say this, you know, the 49ers are the best thing going now as far as personnel, getting the coach, the team all together, and they whiffed on Trey Lance at number 3 very recently, and didn't even get Justin Fields. So, and like I said, they're the best thing going, and they recovered from that. So it's an inexact science, so you really don't know. And you're right. You take a big risk of passing on, you know, who knows, the next Peyton Manning or whatever. So it's not just as easy as saying, oh, we like Justin Fields because Justin Fields could be good, but the guy you pass on could be great. You know, it reminds me of the Bills situation in 17. They were looking for a quarterback. It's a little different situation, but they passed on Matt Pitt. Not only did they pass on Mahomes, but they traded the pick, the number 10 pick, to Kansas City to get home, for them to get Mahomes. So they ended up with Josh Allen, who is outstanding. They have no complaints, but yet Patrick Mahomes has kept them from advancing in the playoffs already twice. So they handed the gun to their biggest competitor, and you know, if they don't regret that, well, that's fair to say. But the point is, they have a good quarterback, and they missed on a better quarterback. And I guess that's kind of the danger with the Bears, with the state of Justin Fields right now. You know, after a great game against Atlanta, mm-hmm. in some respects, big picture wise, if you're looking at the totality of Justin Fields' season, it might not. And you are good at analyzing how good Caleb Williams or Drake May are. Then it may be, to an expert, it might not be a tough decision.
That's true. That's a great point.
We're in the glow of a great performance right now against a good defense, so it's legit. But you kind of have to let the dust settle, which the Bears obviously will, and then see how the quarterback situation shakes out. But to the original point, the Bears are really in a great situation at quarterback for a team that hasn't gotten the quarterback right. You know, as far as sustaining somebody since Sid Luckman, I think you're certainly not going to look at this as a bad situation.
No doubt. You know, and there is, and we're talking to Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. I'm Mark Grody here on The Score with you until 11 o'clock. We're talking Bears all the way through. I was like, maybe I'll do something else. No, who am I kidding? We're going Bears all the way. There is momentum from a lot of people, whether in the media or just fans, with the philosophy of, hey, the connection with Justin Fields and DJ Moore is obviously been spectacular. It's been a career year for DJ Moore, and those two guys have been, for the most part, except for the early part of the season, those two guys have been great together. So philosophically, a lot of people say, hey, you add a couple more stud receivers, maybe Marvin Harrison Jr., maybe you tap into somebody in free agency, and then, you know, you have something right there. I guess, do you believe in that? And I guess my opinion on that, the only downside to that or thing that I think of is if that's what it takes to make Justin Fields good, like if you have to have elite wide receivers to make your quarterback good, then aren't we sort of downsizing the quarterback again?
I don't think so, because when you look at what Mahomes has done with a lesser group of receivers this year, he's not the same quarterback either, and he's the best thing going. Quarterbacks, wide receivers make a quarterback. Offensive line makes a quarterback. Offensive game plan, even the best quarterbacks in the league, it's all about the offensive line, the play calling, the design of the offense. There are many facets that make these great quarterbacks great. Not that they couldn't go to another team or a lesser team and lift them up. Some just have it and some don't. But on the other hand, every quarterback, look at Mahomes this year. Every quarterback needs support and needs a support system. And so, Justin Fields, I say it 100 times, I don't think he doesn't have the it factor to me, but you can still win a Super Bowl with him. He can still be a league MVP like Cam Newton, even if it's just a flash. He's got that kind of ability if you give him the right support. So especially if the Bears did not have the number one pick, staying with Justin Fields and getting Marvin Harrison Jr. And fortifying your an offensive line that looks pretty good, and just improving in general on offense, I think that is that would be a very optimistic tack. It goes back to the previous thing we talked about with the number one pick kind of making it. Well, you could do better too. So, but to your point, can the Bears make a winner out of Justin Fields? Yes, and much more so than they could have with Mitch Trubisky. That's the big difference between where they are now and where they were like 5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that I guess that part is there, that he's better than Mitch Trubisky, and it feels like, yeah, even if Justin Fields is not with the Bears, that he will have a real chance to be a starter somewhere in the NFL next year.
Oh, he'll be a starter next year. Somebody will definitely love him. Somebody likes him and thinks the Bears are misusing him, and he's not being developed properly. You know, much more so than Trubisky, who did not get a chance to start after being technically in the Pro Bowl and showing some potential. From the very beginning, I said Fields, from the first day rookie minicamp, Fields is a different animal, and he versus Trubisky, and there's no doubt about it. So yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that Fields will be a starter in the league. There's so many desperate quarterback desperate teams. I'm sure he will be, but the question is where.
Yep. Did you know DJ Moore was this good?
Well, yeah. I mean, because remember we were saying, wow, look at this guy has 1,000-yard seasons with those quarterbacks. Look how good he'd be if they get better quarterback play. So yeah, I would say I don't think this is like a big surprise. He's maybe stepped up another notch higher this season, but yeah, no, I got to say I think most people thought he was a really good receiver, and frankly, to Bears fans, he looked even better maybe than he was, just because the Bears are so desperate for help at receiver. So I don't think he's been undervalued or underappreciated or whatever. I think he's, yeah, to answer your question, yeah, I think we all knew that he was this good just based on what he did in Carolina with the same kind of quarterback situation as the Bears have had. So a better quarterback play, a better receiver. Yes, the only mystery, frankly, is that, like I said, the chemistry he's developed with, concerning is that the chemistry that Fields developed with Moore has totally ruined the chemistry he had with Darnell Mooney.
Yeah.
And there's a chemistry factor involved. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Of course you're going to do that. But all I'm saying is, like, the one thing they haven't gotten out of that trade, they've gotten everything they could have wanted out of that trade. The one thing they haven't gotten out of that trade is kind of the residual effect on their receivers. This hasn't made all the attention to DJ Moore has not opened things up for another receiver. Fulcomet has had a better year, but as far as another wide receiver that a lot of good teams have, that second good receiver, that hasn't happened. And I wouldn't say that's necessarily a big problem, but I just think it's something to keep an eye on, that the Bears need, you know, a kind of a little bit of a hole that the Bears have that they need to fill, and makes it even more important. So when you added a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr., how will that affect the chemistry with DJ Moore? Who knows? I mean, that's a skeptical viewpoint from someone who's watched the Bears, you know, win 3 playoff games in the last 30 years. But so I don't mean to take away from the excitement of what they're doing. But I was saying something to me when I look at that objectively. I'm curious about how that will play out.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. I love the way you put it. Just something to keep an eye on. And I don't know what has gone on with Darnell Mooney and Justin Fields. I mean, we know that they're best friends and that they work out together and they work before and after practice, but for some reason that hasn't worked. I guess I hadn't thought of the potential that, you know, that actually DJ Moore has hurt the other side. But yeah, you would think, I mean, going into the season, logic tells you that DJ Moore, who, except for yesterday, I thought Atlanta had an odd plan against DJ Moore in terms of covering him. We've talked to DJ Moore so many times this year, Potsy, where he's like, man, I've not seen the coverages against me ever, like where he's saying he's being triple teamed. So you would think that you'd be able to find an alternative receiver. One other guy I want to ask you about before we let you go is, because I saw you talking to Tyler Scott yesterday, and I know that he had a pretty bad miss, I thought, for Tyler Scott in the end zone. I know it wasn't like a simple catch, But I think it's a play that he needed to make. It was one of Justin Fields' better plays in the game. What do you think about Tyler Scott and his future with the Chicago Bears? Do you really think he's going to be a part of it in the big picture of things?
Well, I admit I have not seen enough. I love the kid. He's a great, sports fan. He's just a good guy to talk to.
And great to
he's
talk
one of those
to.
Guys, frankly, you root for to succeed just because he's such a good guy to have. And he's very talented. Tyler Scott, I really can't predict anything for him. All I can say is he is the kind of guy who, as an offense grows, he has the potential to become a much bigger factor. And he's getting closer. That's what we talked about yesterday, getting closer. He had two shots at a touchdown, missed them both. But he's got an element that when you have a truly good offense like they have in San Francisco or they have in Kansas City, he's that guy that you didn't think about who ends up having 800, 900, 1,000 yards. And he has that potential, but I can't predict it because I just haven't seen enough. All I can say is as the Bears offense grows with whoever's a quarterback and with their offense, I think Tyler Scott is one of those guys who, kind of like Darnell Mooney coming in a lesser offense as a fifth round pick, can really blossom. So, it's somebody to keep an eye on, let's put it that way. But I just, frankly, in all objectivity, Tyler just hasn't done enough on the field to say, oh, this guy is definitely going to be, he's right there, he's going to be there. He's just got another step to go to, and he knows it. But I think he feels it coming, and I think he feels really good about the direction of where he's headed in this offense as it continues to grow.
Mark, great stuff as always. Thanks for coming on New Year's Day. Happy New Year's to you and your family. And I know I'll be talking to you soon, brother.
Sounds good, Mark. Thanks a lot. Happy New Year to everybody.
Yep, thanks. That is the one and only Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. When we return, sometimes when you're in the locker room, as I was yesterday, you ask a question that, maybe it wasn't your best question, but you get a pretty good answer from it. That happened with me yesterday with Jaquan Brisker. We'll get to that next here. It's Mark Grody at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And then the defense. The defense did a really good job with the four turnovers to close those games out. That's what we talk about in the fourth quarter. The first thing in the fourth quarter is the ball. We got to protect it on offense, and we got to do a great job on defense taking it away. We did that. And then the third and fourth down stops, or the third and fourth down conversions that you got to make to finish out the game. And then getting some explosives. You have to do that in the fourth quarter as well, and then limit those explosives on defense. And then really be good at situational ball at the end to finish the thing out the right way. We did that at the end. We did what we needed to do. It wasn't perfect, but we did what we needed to do to finish the game.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, no funny stuff yesterday. Bears head coach Matt Eberflus talking about his defense. I mean, in the fourth quarter, there was the Taylor Heinicke 24-yard touchdown run. He can run. He can do that. That made it, 27-17 at the time. But right after that, low-key field goal by Cairo Santos and then the Roschon Johnson touchdown to put it away. Because, look, there's been Bears defensive trauma in the fourth quarter this year. We all have that episodic memory from things that have happened. So when Heinicke runs that ball in and it's 27-17, although that's still a 10-point lead, obviously, feeling pretty good, you're like, okay, just let's add a field goal, let's add a touchdown. And that's what the Bears did en route to the 37-17 win over Atlanta yesterday at Soldier Field, where I was planted all day long. Also, the second quarter, how about when Cairo Santos misses the 55-yarder? D. Alford in the house returns it just short of the end zone. It's like, whew, wow. I mean, it just kept going and going and going. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk to Chris Emma at the top of the hour at 9 a.m. He has some really good insights on that play, and he highlighted for me as we were sitting there, actually literally busted out the tape. And said, here's the guy. He circled the guy and said, this is the guy right here who kept that ball from going in the end zone. It might not be somebody that you expected. So Emma coming up in about 25 minutes from right now from 670thescore.com to talk about that and everything Chicago Bears.
He almost pulled a Devin Hester there, returning out of the end zone for a touchdown.
Well, wasn't it wasn't it Nathan Vasher who did Hester do that once too? Because I know Nathan Vasher did it as well.
Yeah, so that was, I think, the really windy game against San Francisco. Nathan Vasher took it, and then it was Devin Hester against the Giants in the Meadowlands. He kind of did that.
That's right.
Walk first, and then all of a sudden, boom, Hester takes
oh,
off.
Oh, yeah.
And he was gone.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of like, the fake acceleration, or the acceleration, no, the slow walk to the acceleration.
Sped up for like two steps, then kind of like strolled, and then boom, just took off.
Yes. Kind of reminded me of, and in different circumstances, a play by Justin Fields yesterday. And that was in the second quarter. Fields, I don't know what the score was at the time, but Fields rolls right. I think it was a planned rollout, but then he accelerates like he's going to run. And I don't know, I didn't get to ask him about this play. He accelerated like he was going to run, but then he pulled up fat, like just like performance car stopping. And then he finds Tyler Scott for a first down. Might have been low-key one of his best plays of the game yesterday. And well, there is some audio on that, but I didn't get to ask the question that I wanted to, and that is, what was Justin Fields' actual plan on that play? But it is cool to watch Justin Fields accelerate. You talk about a guy who like is easy speed, I think is the way to put it. It just like he glides. It's a different, it's a newer type of speed that he has out there when you watch that guy go. But back to the Matt Eberflus defense. Yeah, Tyrique Stevenson had two picks in the game. TJ Edwards, Kyler Gordon coming up with interceptions as well. Jaquan Brisker playing like Jaquan Brisker, like he does. And that brings me to Brisker, who I was part of a group of people talking to Brisker in the locker room. And like I said, yeah, sometimes you ask a question where afterwards, like you put your palm to your forehead. Why did I just ask that question? Because it maybe was kind of a dumb question, but it got a pretty good response. It starts, though, here with Jaquan Brisker. We're basically talking to him about the Bears having the number one overall pick in the draft this year.
No, we get a lot of different options and things like that, but you know, it's going to help us as a team. You know, obviously, you know, we're going to get a top player out the draft. You know, whoever it is, you know, receiver, you know, DN, whatever it may be. But just knowing that, you know, whoever we going to get is going to contribute and, you know, going to add to this team, it's going to be a huge part for us to, you know, build momentum moving forward.
Last year it was bittersweet that you guys had the number one overall pick because it was losing, but this year you could pin that on Carolina. So does it feel better, and is that part of what you guys are celebrating in here today?
No, we're not selling Brandon no one pick at all. I know we don't have the worst record, but we don't ever want to celebrate having the number one pick. But obviously in this case, it is good for us. We're not celebrating that. We're celebrating a victory at home, 5-6 straight in a row. You know, that's very huge for us. And, you know, having momentum, you know, is very huge. So that's what we're celebrating now.
Yeah, speaking of momentum, how do you feel about what this defense is building, as, you know, playoffs or not, what you guys have going forward?
We still got faith, but I just think, you know, this group is special. And we got to continue to keep this group for next year and, you know, years ahead. So I think it'll be very, very huge to, you know, keep players like this, because you see the player we got in the locker room. You know, we started off 0-4, 0-5, whatever it may be, but, you know, guys keep battling. You know, like I said, like Eddie, guys like that, Jalen, you know, people like that, they got to, you know, we got to stick with the group that we have. And, you know, JJ and, you know, people like that, you know, I feel like, you know, a couple more years, you know, we'll be scary, so for sure.
Is this the happiest this group has been? I mean, you guys are smoking cigars in the locker room.
Yeah, it is. It's the happiest we've been.
Oh, man, it's so good to hear that. That's so good. That couple years will be dangerous. Hey, I'll take next year. The Bears defense will be dangerous. So, yeah, Jaquan Brisker right there. Yeah, he didn't want to hear that they were celebrating the number one pick. I mean, I tried to give a little bit of context that, you know, the not because the Bears suck, it's because Carolina sucked, but they were celebrating the home win and the streak that they have been on. And hey, it was New Year's Eve too. So, first time I've walked into a cigar-infested Chicago Bears locker room.
Just brought me to a thought there. Nice little ode to Saturday suckage and Rosie. Carolina sucked, so the Bears didn't have to.
Very well put. Very well put. So a good overall game for the Chicago Bears defense yesterday. A few text messages. 224. Mark, So glad to hear you. Happy New Year. John from Sarasota. Back at you. 224, how's Dave? Dave's living the life, man. He's spoiled. He's an only cat. 224, words that made Les great. Green Bay sucks. Let me tell you something. I loved it yesterday at Soldier Field when a Green Bay sucks chant broke out. It was just delightful. I love Bears fans.
I love it.
60,000 fans out there. Bears fans never cease to amaze me. Attendance through the good and the bad. Fields was talking about that yesterday as well. Can the Bears head coach return with a new offensive coordinator, knowing they may only have 1 year? Yeah, I mean, that's possible. It's plausible. I don't feel as confident about Luke Getsy returning as I do Matt Eberflus. Let's see here. Where do we want to go here? There's a few text messages I just didn't like there. We'll go back to the phones. Let's go to Sean in Maine. Sean in Maine. Hi, Sean. How are you? You're on the Score.
Hey, how are you doing? How are you guys doing? I listen to you guys every day.
Thank you.
So I've got some numbers I'd like to throw at you real quick here. And they're for the last four games. These are home averages and Justin Field averages. Our win average is 13.4. Our home win streak is 5. So in those five games, we're averaging winning by 13.4. Justin Field total average output the last four games, 276 and 0 TDs, 281 and 2 TDs against the Lions. The Cardinals, 268 and 2 TDs against Atlanta, 313 and 2 TDs. Total turnovers during that period of time is only 3. And his total QBR, I found this very interesting. His total QBR is 69.32, and that ranks him in the top 5. Total completion percentage average is 62.7, and his total QBR average during this period of time is only 50.23, but that has gone up. I just wanted to throw those numbers out. I just think if I'm looking at that, the front office should look at that.
Okay, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for the numbers. Farrengold, check those numbers. I don't know. That sounds pretty suspect to me. No, I'm just kidding. You don't need to check it. The yesterday, Fields had a 99.5 rating. Was he talking about total yards, though, in those games? Like 313? I mean, I don't know what he's talking about because those were not his totals. So
it has to be with the rushing yards included.
Okay, rushing yards included. I got you. That's what I was thinking. Maybe that's what he was going with. But that's a lot of numbers coming at me early in the morning.
Justin, he always runs wild against Detroit. Not a ton of passing yards, but he always just goes crazy running against the Lions.
Yeah, and I think that the thing about that this year, too, with Justin Fields' good running games this year, they've been well within the context of the game, and it hasn't looked desperate, and it hasn't looked like the only thing going. So that's the one thing that I really had. Like, it has been. This is another check in the side for Justin Fields. The running has been better at complementing the passing. Like, there has been chemistry between the two for Justin Fields this year. I want to talk a little bit more about the defense when return. I want to single out a few guys in the games that they had. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to talk to Chris Emma, who is also at Soldier Field and writes for 670thescore.com. He's probably got something good up there right now at CMA 670. I am Mark Rohde. The phones are open as well at 312-644-6767 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Rohde on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Happy New Year. Yeah, it's 2024, right? Did you make it? Did you make it to midnight? I did not, because I had to be here. Otherwise, I probably would have, but I wanted to be nice and fresh for everybody here today. And I get to be with you until 11 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, I'm Mark Rohde. We are talking Bears. Bears 37-17 win over Atlanta. I've been talking about Justin Fields. He did move the meter for me. I don't know if it's enough to completely change my opinion on a year that, for the most part, I have not thought has been good enough for Justin Fields, but he was terrific yesterday. 20 of 32, 268, touchdown, no picks, another 11 carries for 45 yards and a TD. We saw some of the spectacular from Justin Fields. It was a good day for Justin Fields, for sure. It was a really good day, too, for DJ Moore. 9 catches, 159, a TD. He's up to a career-high 1,300 yards. That's been terrific for DJ Moore. And we were talking about the defense. And, you know, definitely a lot of credit to the turnover, the interceptions, the two by Tariq Stevenson, TJ Edwards, and Kyler Gordon. But one of the guys that I highlighted in circle two was Jervon Dexter. I like the way Jervon Dexter has been playing late in the season. You know, he hasn't really taken over a game yet. And I say that because every time I talk to Jervon Dexter, I'm like, so what's the next level for you? Taking over games, he said. Dominating games. He had 4 tackles yesterday. He had a sack and a half. And a couple things here. First of all, the sack that he had in the second quarter, that was very meaningful. It's 14-7 at the time. It's a third down play. And he just broke free and takes down Taylor Heinicke. I thought it was terrific because I do rate sacks. And there was a play, too, I think also in the second quarter, where showed some speed, man. It was a handoff. And he is fast. Like, this is not, like, surprise. I mean, Jervon Dexter, quick, fast guy who a lot of people thought could have been a first-round pick. I know he thought he should have been a first-round pick from talking to him. Got the old chip on the shoulder, he does. But watching him sprint to the outside at one point in time to take down Bijan Robinson, who you know is fast, was pretty impressive. So some open field work for Jervon Dexter yesterday that I thought was pretty impressive. Not sure about what's going on with Jalen Johnson. He did exit the game yesterday due to a shoulder injury.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's not good for him. Hopefully it's not serious, and hopefully he'll be back in for the Green Bay game.
I have a quick question about Jervon Dexter, Grody. Do you think he's establishing himself as that three technique guy that we were all talking heavily about before the season started?
It's a great question. I mean, I think he's going to get consideration for it going into next year. You know, he has played some of that position. Justin Jones has done it predominantly. But at this point, I can't say, I'll say no for now, that he's not just plug and play like next year to it, but I certainly think he's going to be given a chance. But it's also a position you got to look at for this draft. And depending on what they decide to do, and there is so much dependent upon that, that if you want to move this defense from where it is now, good, not great, not elite, if you want to move it to the next level, you do have to really zero in on that three technique position, and you still need somebody else who can sack the quarterback. You know, another guy like the opposite of Montez Sweat. You know, you have gotten some good work out of DeMarcus Walker this year. Yannick Ngakoue was fine when he was healthy. I just don't know if they still have the guy opposite of Montez Sweat going into the future. So there are still some things to consider. I also thought it was really interesting something that Dave Wanstead said about the defense. You know, next year, you know, you're going to if you do cut Eddie Jackson in June or by June, you know, you're saving about $12.6 million. And Wanstead's idea was to have either Tyreek Stevenson or Terrell Smith move into that safety spot. And he really liked the idea of Stevenson because of the physicality with which he plays. And I don't know. I love the idea. I love stuff like that. I tend to disagree with it because we know that cornerback is a premium position. Ryan Poles has said it out loud. And you got a guy who is on the rise. And I'm not just saying this because Tyreek Stevenson had 2 interceptions yesterday. I mean, you definitely take that into consideration. But I think he's too valuable still at this point in his career at being a cornerback. And quite frankly, same thing with Smitty. That would be Terrell Smith. So while I like that kind of thinking, I think I'd prefer to keep him at both of those guys at the cornerback positions, and either bring Eddie Jackson back, which would not be horrible as far as I'm concerned, or, you know, you like Elijah Hicks as a potential guy, next to Jaquan Brisker next year, or are you looking at drafting another safety somewhere lower in the draft because, you know, safety not considered a premium position? I see all you guys on hold. We are going to take a break, and if you want to hang in there, that's cool, but we are going to bring in Chris Emma next, who was also at Halas Hall. And I know CM has got opinions as well on this Bears win and what's going down with Justin Fields and who the Bears might draft and his unique view of some of the specific things that were going on in the game yesterday. So we're going to talk to Chris Emma next. And then after that, we are going to blast through a bank of phone calls at 312-644-6767. I'm Mark Grody. We're talking Bears on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Happy New Year. Yeah, it's 2024, right? Did you make it? Did you make it to midnight? I did not, because I had to be here. Otherwise, I probably would have, but I wanted to be nice and fresh for everybody here today. And I get to be with you until 11 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, I'm Mark Grody. We are talking Bears. Bears 37-17 win over Atlanta. We've been talking about Justin Fields. He did move the meter for me. I don't know if it's enough to completely change my opinion on a year that, for the most part, I have not thought has been good enough for Justin Fields. But he was terrific yesterday. 20 of 32. 268, touchdown, no picks, another 11 carries for 45 yards and a TD. We saw some of the spectacular from Justin Fields. It was a good day for Justin Fields, for sure. It was a really good day, too, for DJ Moore. 9 catches, 159, a TD. He's up to a career-high 1,300 yards. That's been terrific for DJ Moore. And we were talking about the defense, and you know, definitely a lot of credit to the turnover, the interceptions, the two by Tariq Stevenson, TJ Edwards, and Kyler Gordon. But one of the guys that I highlighted in Circle 2 was Jervon Dexter. I like the way Jervon Dexter has been playing late in the season. You know, he hasn't really taken over a game yet. And I say that because every time I talk to Jervon Dexter, I'm like, so what's the next level for you? Taking over games, he said. Dominating games. He had 4 tackles yesterday. He had a sack and a half. And a couple things here. First of all, the sack that he had in the second quarter, that was very meaningful. It's 14-7 at the time. It's a third down play, and he just broke free and takes down Taylor Heinicke. I thought it was a terrific, because I do, you know, I do rate sacks. And there was a play, too, I think also in the second quarter, where showed some speed, man. It was a handoff, and he is fast. Like, this is not, like, a surprise. I mean, Jervon Dexter, quick, fast guy who a lot of people thought could have been a first-round pick. I know he thought he should have been a first-round pick from talking to him. Got the old chip on the shoulder, he does. But watching him sprint to the outside at one point in time to take down Bijan Robinson, who you know is fast, was pretty impressive. So some open field work for Jervon Dexter yesterday that I thought was pretty impressive. Not sure about what's going on with Jalen Johnson. He did exit the game yesterday due to a shoulder injury.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's not good for him. Hopefully it's not serious, and hopefully he'll be back in for the Green Bay game.
I have a quick question about Jervon Dexter, Grody. Do you think he's establishing himself as that three technique guy that we were all talking heavily about before the season started?
That's a great question. I mean, I think he's going to get consideration for it going into next year. You know, he has played some of that position. Justin Jones has done it predominantly. But at this point, I can't say, I'll say no for now, that he's not just plug and play like next year to it. But I certainly think he's going to be given a chance. But it's also a position you got to look at for this draft. And depending on what they decide to do, and there is so much dependent upon that, that if you want to move this defense from where it is now, good, not great, not elite, if you want to move it to the next level, you do have to really zero in on that three technique position. And you still need somebody else who can sack the quarterback. You know, another guy like the opposite of Montez Sweat. You know, you're getting, you have gotten some good work out of DeMarcus Walker this year. Yannick Ngakoue was fine when he was healthy. I just don't know if they still have the guy opposite of Montez Sweat going into the future. So there are still some things to consider. I also thought it was really interesting something that Dave Wanstead said about the defense. You know, next year, you know, you're going to if you do cut Eddie Jackson in June or by June, you know, you're saving about $12.6 million. And Wanstead's idea was to have either Tyreek Stevenson or Terrell Smith move into that safety spot. And he really liked the idea of Stevenson because of the physicality with which he plays. And I don't know. I love the idea. I love stuff like that. I tend to disagree with it because we know that cornerback is a premium position. Ryan Poles has said it out loud. And you got a guy who is on the rise. And I'm not just saying this because Tyreek Stevenson had two interceptions yesterday. I mean, you definitely take that into consideration. But I think he's too valuable still at this point in his career at being a cornerback. And quite frankly, same thing with Smitty. That would be Terrell Smith. So while I like that kind of thinking, I think I'd prefer to keep him at both of those guys at the cornerback positions and either bring Eddie Jackson back, which would not be horrible as far as I'm concerned, or, you know, you like Elijah Hicks as a potential guy next to Jaquan Brisker next year, or are you looking at drafting another safety somewhere lower in the draft because, you know, safety not considered a premium position. I see all you guys on hold. We are going to take a break. And if you want to hang in there, that's cool. But we are going to bring in Chris Emma next, who was also at Halas Hall. And I know CM has got opinions as well on this Bears win and what's going down with Justin Fields and who the Bears might draft and his unique view of some of the specific things that were going on in the game yesterday. So we're going to talk to Chris Emma next. And then after that, we are going to blast through a bank of phone calls at 312-644-6767. I'm Mark Grody. We're talking Bears on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.